Welcome to the Dayspring Podcast, where we delve into faith and fellowship through the teachings of Christ. Join us every week as we explore God's Word and discuss how to live out your faith in today's world. Be blessed as you listen to this sermon. Your kingdom come,
your will be done. This morning, I'm preaching on what I have titled, I Will Not Sink. I want you to say it as loud as you can. I will not sink. Do you believe that? Yes. There is nothing that will happen to you this year or the coming years that will make you sink. Amen. You will not go down. Amen. You will not fail. Amen. You will make it. Amen. Because you have Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 33. Father, as we go into your word, we ask for clarity. We ask for understanding. We ask you to touch us. I ask you to touch me, the one speaking. I'm only an instrument. I pray that your hand will be upon me so that I can communicate your promise to your people with clarity. Bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So Jesus had finished preaching. There were a lot of people who were listening to him. He asked the disciples to go, and then he himself spent time with the people and sent them away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So it means that it wasn't evening yet, because it says now when evening came, he was alone there. So we have to assume that when he sent the multitude away, it was not evening. Probably it was afternoon. And then evening met him alone over there on the mountain. But the boat that the disciples were in was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. Contrary means it was against their plan of action. Where they were sailing to, it started to shake them. Verse 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Jesus is going to come to somebody this year in a very spectacular way. Your amen is not loud enough. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. It's funny how whenever we see something miraculous, our first instinct is to say it's evil. I pray that this year when God does something amazing, when you see something special, when you see something strange, when you see something unique, you would attribute it to God first. And they cried out for fear. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. It is I. The Greek, if you turn it into Hebrew, it is the same as when God said, I am. The same. He said, it is I, or I am. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. As you seek for Jesus, may you encounter amazing things in your life. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. I don't know if there's anybody here who is shouting that cry. Say, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Hallelujah. Let me start with the definition of sinking so that we all understand. It has five aspects to it. The first is to go below the surface. To go below the surface. When we say something has sunk, it's gone below the surface. Secondly, it means to go downward. So anything that is on a downward trajectory, you can call it sinking. It also means to insert into something. Insert into something. To sink means to insert into something. So when you read 1 Samuel and you see the battle between David and Goliath, the Bible says the stone that David threw, it sunk into his head. So it means the stone was inserted into his head. Number four, it means to fall and not be seen again. When you say something has sunk, it means it's gone down and it will not be seen. So when we say a business has sunk, what we are saying is the way the business has collapsed, it cannot be put back together again. We are not likely to see that business. And number five, it means to conceal. So if, for instance, we say we are going to build a 24-story building in a waterlogged area, what we are going to do is we are going to sink piles into the ground. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to fall out and not be there again. It just means we are dropping it into the ground and it will be covered by the building. It will not be seen again. It's concealed. So there are three principles of sinking. One, I think it's Archimedes' principle. If the weight pulling you down is the same as the weight pulling you up, you will not sink. Right? So for me on this platform right now, it's a wooden platform. My weight is on the wood, but the wood is also pushing back at me, and so I'm stable. The moment my weight is more than the wood, I will sink. Number two, heavy things sink and light things float. Is that right? I think we know that. If you put something heavy in water, it will sink. If you put a feather in water, it will float, right? I'm going somewhere with this. However, if you read 2 Kings chapter 4, when the axe head was lost and dropped into the water, Elijah said, take a stick. He took the stick, put it in the water, and then it was almost as if there was a switching between what was light and what was heavy. The stick sunk, and then the axe head floated and they picked it, right? So when we talk about principles, Jesus is in charge of the principles. He can switch them however he likes, all right? But basically, simply put, in this earth, this principle applies. So for instance, if you want to sort out beans, what would you do? You want good beans to cook. You will put it in water. And you see, you haven't cooked wache before. Is it true? Yeah. You haven't cooked wache before. Yes. When you put the beans inside, some people have eaten indomie. Beans stew, cry. You haven't cooked some before. When you put beans in water, what would happen is the ones that the weevils have eaten, the ones that are lighter, they are not too good, they will float, right? Ladies, is it true? Some gentlemen have no idea what I'm talking about. But you will understand from today. So then you take the light ones off. You take the light ones off, and then the heavy ones underneath, you can cook them and make your bean stew. Finally, when we say something has sunk, based on the definition, it means that it has totally gone down. Okay? So, if something is halfway down, it has not sunk yet. When we say, for instance, the Titanic sunk, it went all the way down. If a boat is going to sink, it means it's gone down to the seabed. If it is still floating to some extent, even though water has entered, it has not sunk. Based on this, I want to tell you that any weight that will be put on you, God will match that weight. Amen. And you will not sink. Amen. Number two, They say heavy things sink and light things float. But sometimes God can put a weight on you. It's called doxa, glory, kabod. And it is the weight of God he puts on you. But that weight rather makes you light and it makes you fly. May that weight of God rather be put on your life. And finally, based on the third point, if you are going through anything and it's like a part of your life has been submerged, you can thank God this morning that not all of your life is down. You didn't hear me. Because at least you are in church. If somebody is in trouble in the sea, but you can still see their hand waving for help, have they sunk? Because you can still see their hand. This morning, I can see your hand. Jesus can see your hand. It may not be going the way you expected it to go, but we can see your hand. You are still waving. You are still able to pray. You are still strong. You are still in church. I can tell you that God can see you, and you have not sunk. Psalm 69 from verse 1 to 5 tells us an example of when David felt like he was in a sinking situation. And it says this, Psalm 69 verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. And I'm speaking to somebody who may be feeling that way. Everything is happening in your life all at once, and you feel like it's come all the way to your neck. Some people use the expression, I've had it up to here. It means what? They are tired. It means they've had enough. I've gone to school. This lecturer has trouble. I've had it up to here with this lecturer. You will still be in the school. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Though I have stolen nothing, I must still restore. Oh God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. So in this scripture, David is giving us four things that can make you sink. And I want to just show them to you and then give you the promise of God. Are you ready for that? Yes. Number one is in verse 4. The first reason why you would sink is those who hate you, your enemies. Now, whether you like it or not, somebody dislikes you. The way you smile and the dimple shows, they get angry. And if you are like that, receive deliverance this morning in the name of Jesus. You see somebody and they have changed their hair. Today their hair is gold. It is nice. But you have seen it and anger is welling up inside you concerning that. I don't see why Mr. T's suit should make you envious. But whether you like it or not, your existence is somebody's problem. And you have to face it. It is life. So the reason you may sink is that some people already hate you and they will do what they can to bring you down. David said, those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs on my head. The second reason is in verse 5. He said, oh God, you know my foolishness. There was this term that came out, it was an advert. Like, this person, I've forgotten his name. Calibus will do something. And when he's finished doing it, and he sees the outcome of it, he says what? You see, you can say, I can't say it on the phone, but yeah. You see, he does it thinking it will bring a good outcome, only to realize afterwards, Yawa. How many of us have been in a situation like that? You thought you were doing something that would be good for you. You thought you would be doing something that will help you, only to realize afterwards, this was a very foolish decision. And it can make you sink. And people sometimes make one decision that troubles their life for a very long time. Number three, the issues of life. The issues of life. The issues of life. Also in verse 4, he said, though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. Life can happen to you. You can just, I want to do business. I go and take a loan. I put the money into the business. And then suddenly, the business doesn't go well. It's not that you were not hardworking. But maybe the money that pushed into the business, when it came out, you had to take care of somebody who was sick in your house. And all the money is gone. And now you are finding a way to pay the bank back. The issues of life, like debt. Finally, the zeal for God. Zeal for God. Verse 9. It says, the zeal of the house has eaten me up. It's like what Peter and the disciples went through. In the scripture, Jesus has given them an instruction, and they are so excited, and they are pushing to do what God wanted them to do. And so they've gone on the sea, and they've met a storm, and they are sinking, but they are sinking from obeying an instruction that God gave them. And sometimes when God gives us instructions, we fail to realize that not all the outcomes will be nice, in quotes, but they will always be good. And because of the instructions, sometimes we sink. And you wonder, was I not obeying God? Was I not doing what God said I should do? Am I not sacrificing for God? You should have a job by now, but you have joined the department and you are serving the department. And now people are laughing at you because God told you serve in the department. You are not getting any money for serving, and yet people are laughing at you because you don't have any money. It's like you are sinking, but God gave you that instruction. And I want to give the promises now, because I'm sure for many of us, we fall into one of these four categories. For those who hate you, this is God's promise. You will not sink. Genesis chapter 9, verse 12 to 15. Where after God destroys every living thing on earth with flood, Noah gives a sacrifice to God and God smells it, and he makes a covenant with Noah. And this is the covenant in Genesis chapter 9, verse 12. He said, this is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you, every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Not just with Noah, but with the earth. So the rainbow is a symbol that the human race should not sink by water. Are you listening? That covenant is established for the whole earth. Let me ask, how much more God's people? And that is why when God's people were even chased by their enemies, if you are here and somebody hates you to the point where they want to trouble you, this year let me give you that promise. You will not sink. Because when God's people got to the Red Sea, God remembered his covenant. And if he has to go over to the other side, God's people should not sink. And so the Red Sea will part for them. They can hate you. Do you remember the story? Let me tell you what happened. When the Red Sea parted, God's people went through. Do you know who sank? Their enemies. This year, those who hate you are the ones who will sink. I said, those who hate you are the ones who will sing. Now, for those who say, I'm sinking because I made a foolish decision. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I know you made a bad decision. I know you did something that you consider foolish today, and it has made you hide. There are some people that change churches when they do something foolish in one church. If you came to church running away from a previous church, you are very welcome. We love you. We like you here. Amen. And we are not worried about what happened. We know you will do better. Amen. Amen. But he says, now run that race and lay the weight aside. The thing that is making you sink is not what you did, but sometimes it's the ways that people put on you because of what you did. We are too judgmental sometimes as Christians. Somebody has gotten pregnant out of wedlock, is in church. It was a foolish decision. It was a mistake. Are we now going to let the person sink even further by laughing at the person, by mocking the person? Are we not a church that should bring redemption, bring hope, take care of the person and take care of the child too? I believe that is the church we are called to become. But when we become judgmental, when we push them down, when we hurt them, they sink further and they leave church, they go away from God entirely, and we don't get to see them recover from the evil that has happened. Ladies and gentlemen, the weight sometimes we have is the weight of other people's opinions on what we have done. Whatever opinion you have, take it to God in prayer. Pray for the person. Help the person if you can. Because God forbid, one day it can be you. And I want to encourage everybody, that weight that people have put on you, take it off. Because the only reason you will sink is if that weight becomes heavier than your faith in God. That thing has become such a weight. But Matthew 11:30 says this: my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you want to ensure that you won't sink this year, give the weights and the burdens to Jesus. Today, make that decision that whatever has become a burden on you, whatever has become a weight on you, take it off you and give it to the one who is heavier than any weight. Number three, the issues of life. I want to give you that promise, you will not sink. The issues of life can make you feel like nothing good is going to come out of it. The issues of life can make you feel like the way you are going, you may not recover. Sometimes death can be so heavy. Sometimes the people who are sick around you, sometimes they may not be sick, but you wake up in the morning to four requests from four nephews concerning their school fees. Four requests from four nephews concerning their school fees. And you wonder, how do I take care of these people and who is taking care of me? And I can tell you, there are many men who are asking, as I'm taking care of so many people, who is taking care of me? And if you're a man here, I want to encourage you. Jesus is with you in the boat. Continue taking care of people. You are taking care of your family. You are doing well. You are doing the best that you can. God is with you. And for anybody that life is making you sink, Jesus is stretching his hand out to you like he did for Peter to lift you up. Amen. But I want to encourage us today, finally, concerning the fourth thing. The fact that you may sink because you obey God doesn't mean you shouldn't obey God. Whatever God told you at 31st, whatever God told you whilst you were praying, whilst you were trusting God, whatever dream you had that you feel is not strong enough, may not take you through, I want to tell you, if it is God who gave it to you, hold on to God and keep pushing. It will come to pass. The fact that God gave it to you doesn't mean that sinking may not occur. But I'm telling you, anybody that God gives an instruction, as you obey that instruction, even if you sink, your hand will still be up. Peter's hand was still up. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he did not sink. This year, we have Jesus as our theme. I want you to keep your eyes on Jesus. I want you to keep working for God and keep your eyes on Jesus. Take the issue of Daniel, for example. Daniel is simply praying, and some people have orchestrated that through that prayer, he should be killed. How? In the den of lions. But somehow, when he is taken and is dropped into that den of lions, none of them touch him. As you obey God, wherever you are found, nobody will touch you. Nobody will trouble you as you continue to obey God. So working for God can lead to scary outcomes. Doing what God says can be very challenging. And this year, God will tell you some things that may be strange. I want you to trust God and obey God, because you will not sink. This year, Jesus will whisper to you, tell you something. I want you to trust Jesus and do it. When he says, come unto the water and walk to me, look at the boat, get out of the boat, keep your eyes on Jesus and walk towards him. He will not let you sink. I want to show you something finally, for those of us who are going to serve God. And if you are not serving God in any capacity in the church, I want to encourage you to do that. If you are not, you can serve by giving. You can serve by praying. And I wish that everybody here, you will serve God by praying for this spring. Serve God by praying for the church. Take 5 minutes out of your day and say a prayer for this spring. Speak in tongues if you don't know what to say. I want to finally say this, because it's important. This is God's promise. Turn to somebody and say, you will not sink. This year, whatever you go through, you will not sink. You will not go down. You will not break. Now, the Bible is saying this, that Jesus, after he met the disciples and asked them to go, probably in the afternoon, in the evening, he was already up the mountain and he was praying. And evening met him. So let's say the evening is 7 o'clock. Let's assume he sends them out around 4, because it's still afternoon. Some people say 4 o'clock is evening, but I think it's still afternoon. So afternoon, they go, 4 o'clock, 7 evening time meets him. Now, it says that by the time it was the fourth watch of the night, the fourth watch of the night is the time between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. All right? So it means that Jesus went up the mountain by 7 o'clock and he was leaving the mountain at 3 a.m. And all that time, this boat is in the sea. It's being tossed. It's turning. And it's being beaten by the winds. Jesus is not there. From 7 p.m. till 3 a.m. And they are afraid because Jesus is coming. I want us to realize something. That even when you don't see Jesus working, he's working in your favor. Because the whole time, I want you to think about this. Being on a boat where the sea is beating you and the winds are beating you, and from 7 p.m. to midnight is how many hours? 5 hours plus 3 hours, 8 hours. For 8 hours, you are on the sea and the wind is tossing you and you haven't sunk yet, because there was a Jesus standing there, our high priest, our intercessor, praying for them the whole time. So from 7 p.m. to 3, they did not sink. Even when you don't see Jesus, he's praying for you. He is working it in your favor. He is keeping you safe. He is interceding for you. and so you will not sink. Shout, I will not sink. When Jesus was doing this thing, I heard somewhere in Zambia, a pastor had said he is going to walk on water, and he called the media to come and watch him that day. He's going to walk on water. He got there, the media people were there. He started walking. First leg was inside the water. Second one was inside the water. Third one too went in the water, and the media people turned and started going. This person is joking. Now, there are many miracles of Jesus, many things Jesus did, and I can tell you many of them have been repeated, right? Have you seen this particular miracle repeated? Okay, I'm going to show you why. I'm going to show you why. This particular miracle cannot be repeated. Job chapter 9, verse 7. Job is talking about God. Job chapter 9, verse 7 to 8. Job is talking about God. And this is what he says. He commands the sun and it does not rise. So God can give an instruction and the sun will be dark for 24 hours. And then this is what he says. He seals off the stars. Verse 8. He alone spreads out the heavens. It is God who made the heavens. And treads on the waves of the sea. It is God who treads on the waves of the sea. It is God who walks. When he says treads, it means he steps on the waves of the sea. If anybody can tread on the waves of the sea, that person is God. That person is God. You and I cannot be God. He treads on the waves of the sea. When Jesus was treading on the waves of the sea, he was announcing to the disciples and to everyone who will read it, I am God. I am God. I want you to read Psalm 77. Psalm 77, 16 to 19. Verse 16 to verse 19. The waters saw you. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. Verse 18. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightning lit up. Describing, is it not what the disciples were going through on the sea? That's exactly what they were going through. The lightning, the thunder. The earth trembled and shook. Verse 19. Your way was in the sea. He's describing God. Your way, where you walk, the path you like to use is the sea. Your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. I'm showing it's in the Bible. What this scripture is saying is that not only was God the one walking on the water, he was in charge of the storm. The reason you will not sink is because your God is the one who floats. The reason you will not sink is because he's the one in charge of the storm. He's the one in charge of the water. He's the one who uses the water like terrazzo. He's the one who uses the water like tiles. If he does not sink, you as a child of God, this year you will not sink. You will not go down. It is not your portion. You will remain afloat. Even if you start sinking, the one in charge of the storm will stretch his hand and pick you out. Shout, I will not sink. Yes, you will not sing because God is your God. You will not sing because you continue to follow Jesus. You will not sing because you continue to trust Him. You will not sing because He's the one who is holding you. Even when the waves toss and they come on you. Even when there is lightning. Even when people try and shoot you down. You will not sing. Because He's in charge of the water. He will walk on the water and you will walk on the water with Him. He has said He is God and He will remain God. He is not elected into power. He is not the one that is elected by us. He was God before we were born. He was in charge of the sea. Can I announce to you something? That before there was earth, there was sea. And He had to separate the sea so that there will be earth. So before there was earth, it was God's terrazzo. It was what God was working on. The Bible says that the Spirit of God, it hovered over the face of the waters. It was His normal place. If you have the Spirit of God, you are buoyant. You will not sink. Once you have the Spirit of God, you can be sure. I'm prophesying to somebody who started the year unsure of how it will go. Who is starting the year not sure if there will be money. You are starting the year, you are not sure if there will be open doors. You are starting the year and you are just trusting God because you don't know where the 1+1 will be. You will not sink. It is not God's portion. They can say whatever rumor they said about you, you will not sink. You can lose everything today. You will get it back tomorrow. You will not sink. They can do all their kululu to push you out of that system. You will not be moved because it is not God's intention for you to sink. You will be amazed at how strong you are this year. For some of you, it won't just be that blessings will overtake you. For some of you, you will go through a lot and you'll still be standing. And it will show how strong your God is. That the thing happened and it didn't push you down. You lost that person, but it didn't push you down. You lost the opportunity, but it didn't push you down. You had to move from one place to another. It was unpleasant for you, but it didn't get you down. Hey, I'm speaking to a Dayspring member. You will not sink this year. You will not sink next year. You will not sink next 2 years. It is not your portion. When you meet a Red Sea, thank God, because it's not your portion to sink. When you meet a Jordan, you can take a mantle and part it, because it is not your portion to go down. Can I prophesy to somebody? Where they thought you will go down, they will see you walking over there. Didn't hear me. I said, when they thought the thing will not work, you started the business and they say it is too much, it will not work, it's a struggle. I prophesy to somebody that even though other people will be struggling, your God will not let you sink. When God gave me this promise, there was a lot I was going through. A lot of issues, a lot of challenges. And God told me, stand there. Whatever will happen, you'll be floating. Have you seen a ball in water? Have you tried pushing a ball into water down before? You can push it however you like. As soon as your hand goes off, what happens? That is you this year. Oh, the devil will try something, but you will come back up. They will trouble you, but you will come back up. They will say, oh, we are going to work so that you will be sacked. They will see you promoted. They say that you are going to do everything to make sure that you don't go to church anymore. They will see you in church from morning till evening. They will frustrate you however they can. But I promise you, because Jesus is your Jesus, this year you will not sink. You will stand strong. You will be there. Even the thing that made you shift a little, you looked at it and your faith went down a little. You were a little troubled. You were not sure because it looked like the wind was too scary. You became afraid a little. But I'm telling you, that fear does not mean that you will sink. Even if your faith goes down, the Bible says, even when we are faithless, He remains faithful. So when Peter's faith failed, Jesus still picked him up.
Because some outcomes is not about faith, it's about the promise of God. Let me say this one more time. Some outcomes will not be about your faith. It will be about God's promise. Jesus himself said, Peter, why did your faith become small? How did you have little faith like this? Why did you doubt? So there is little faith and then there is doubt. But he still did not sink. Because Jesus said, you will not sink. Somebody this year, whatever you go through, remember this message. Remember the promise of God. Whatever it is that you have to handle, you will handle it. Whatever it is you will go through, you will go through it. And December 31st, 2025, you will see that you did not sink. In fact, you began to float. For some of you, you will go through the thing. It may not be easy, but I promise you, the God who walks on the water is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if he is in you, the same way his way is the sea, is the same way you will be standing on the water and you will not sink. The God who keeps us afloat is the one who will keep us in 2025. The God who keeps us afloat. Oh, you will cry. It will not be easy. This year will be good. But this year will be challenging. But I can promise you, the God who keeps us afloat, even when your faith fails, the business will not fail. Even when your faith fails, the marriage will not fail. Even when your faith fails, you will still get the grades you need in the school. Even when your faith fails, the interview will still go in your favor. Even when your faith fails, the manifestation project will still be built. Even if your faith fails, the money will still come. You will say, God, I wasn't sure it was going to happen. I didn't think it would come my way. And God will say, it was a promise I made to you on the 5th of January that you will not sink. It was a promise I made to you that it will not end in failure. It will not end in you being concealed. It will not end with you going down and not coming up again. He said, rejoice not over me. Oh, my enemies, though I fall, I will rise again. He said, the righteous fall 7 times and they get back up again. I prophesy to somebody today, you will be standing on the water at the end of the day. Shout, I will not sink. Shout it, I will not sink. Shout it, I will not sink. It's not about faith, it's a promise. Shout, I will not sink.
Thank you for listening to the Dayspring Podcast. Hope you were blessed. Connect with us on all social media platforms at ICGC Dayspring. God bless you.